Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to
Leave it.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 73, episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, March 11th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. O'Brien, do anything for love, but I won't do Jack. And that was courtesy of Hannah Soltis. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gregg!
This administration is a gang of fools. Jack O'Brien, Miles O'Brien, they bring the new. Might be crazy, but it ain't no lie in the zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist.
Thank you to Damsel Disgusted, at Damsel Disgusted, for that, NSYNC, bye, aka.
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you.
99, right? Was that 99?
Was that 99?
I don't know.
No Strings Attached was the album.
Oh, okay. Maybe. I was thinking of Backstreet Boys' Millennium.
Oh, wow. Let me tell you, actually, let's actually pull it up.
Still got that 99 hangover from our live show.
Oh, you know what? 2000. But 2000, I suspect maybe that single may have came out in 99.
Right.
So maybe
nine,
it was something. 9999.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and performer, Mr. Eric Lampert.
Gentlemen! Hello.
Hello! Hello!
It's good to be back. It's always good to be back.
Yes.
To see both of your faces.
How have you been?
Thank you so much. I'm actually genuinely doing very good.
Okay, good. Right. Yeah. Good. I remember last time you were sort of in a bit of an existential bind.
He's going through a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. Feeling good? You can pay your taxes too now? I remember also you're like, I'm not paying my taxes.
Yeah.
Hey, still not paying your taxes?
Well, I went to see an accountant. Firstly, that my previous accountant made mistakes.
Oh.
So actually, that's why. So it was. I was like, this is too much. But also, I still feel like I don't want to pay taxes to a country that steals kids.
Yeah,
so
yeah, fair.
It's weird.
Hey, look, if you stand up to this government and maybe thrown in a tax jail, they might put your face on a quarter or something.
Yeah, maybe I'm the next, you know, sort of giving myself to prison, you know, for the message of don't steal kids.
Over a couple $1,000.
Eric, it's great to have you back. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to check in with where everyone's at with the cancellation of Michael Jackson. We're going to talk about Captain Marvel, which blew up
over the weekend, even though I didn't really know that this character existed prior to this movie going into production. We're going to talk about Manafort sentence, Facebook, and their relationship to the Trump administration and some of the people running against him in 2020. And we're going to talk about the fact that you can buy the Mueller report. Pre-order now, the hottest new book Amazon's bestseller list. But first, Eric, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, so I've recently been searching the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse soundtrack.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie, firstly?
I still haven't seen it. I know I should watch it. I'm going to watch it this next week because I have to keep up with the rest of society.
Yes. Yes, you certainly do.
Yeah, it's so good.
I know that people were like, that was actually probably one of the best movies of last year.
Oh, hands down, when it won the Oscar, I was like, yeah.
Totally, I mean, I need totally to. Brown kid with superpowers named Miles.
Right. Yeah, how yeah. have you it. Not watched it?
I know. Part of me, I think I'm just going to get down on myself
right.
that I don't have that kind of power.
Yeah.
No, like, if anything, it's going to give you the power. It's going to.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Yeah, I feel like the hero is inside all of us.
Right.
That kind of vibe, you know?
It's Doesn't a great he wear, movie. Does he wear Jordans in it, too? He wears,
yeah.
like, Jordan 1s, the same yeah, Jordan there was 1s a, that you have?
Well, no.
Is there any chance for that the he's
real,
based on
no,
you?
No, for the real sneakerheads, he's not wearing the ones. I have banned bred 1s, okay? That's a very different one than the Jordan Spider-Verse 1s that people aren't really fucking with. But okay. I like them.
They're not
good.
Fucking with them?
I mean, this is the deal, okay? It's a model off of, like, the kind of Jordan... the retros that he wore, like, in his rookie year.
Right.
But this one has little details, like an ice sole and, like, webbing in it that is a little bit of a departure from, like, the OG style of Jordan.
Okay.
Not a lesser Jordan, but, you know, I can't also, one's too narrow for my feet.
They're the only Jordans that weren't designed by Tinker Hatfield, and they're fine, but they're just...
It's a dunk.
Like, yeah, it's just an old-school dunk.
It's a dunk with a little bit of a Jordan wing logo on the top
right,
part.
Which isn't even the Jordan
I find
logo.
It fascinating that people are really into shoes.
Yeah.
It's kind of beautiful to watch. Like, when I'm, like, driving along Fairfax or something, sometimes there'll be, like, lines and lines of people.
Yeah.
And I used to be like, oh, are they going to go see a band or something? Just shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
amazing.
If it's Fairfax, that's for Supreme, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Where the real robbery is going down.
But, Eric, can you take a band with you when you leave the store? Can you wear a band on your feet?
Ooh.
I wear them in my heart, guys.
Ah.
Yeah.
Very
How about
deep.
That?
What is something you think is underrated, sir?
Underrated? Delaying gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think people at the moment, especially with our phones, and this is me as well, this is not like, I didn't grow up with phones. Like, I'm getting addicted to my phones, and I want things now, all the time, now.
Mm-hmm.
And so the enjoyment of just, I've recently watched a series, which, not that amazing, The Umbrella... thing.
Oh, yeah, Umbrella Academy. Yeah, I'm in the middle of that.
It wasn't amazing enough for me to binge it, but then I watched, like, one episode a day.
Right.
And I almost enjoyed it more than, like, series that I do binge, because then it's like, ooh, I'm just a little bit, yum, yum,
right.
A little bit then, a little bit then.
And you get a little time to think about it,
yeah.
too. Not just, like, keep it going.
Right. So
I don't want to think.
I think we've forgotten to do that, most of us. We've forgotten to just go... Hey, I'll treat myself to that tomorrow.
Oh, I'm all about deferred gratification, just in general. You see the way I eat sometimes, like the way I'll leave like the perfect bite for the very last bite of my meal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's what I do.
You know, that, you know.
I've got a friend who I still haven't forgiven him. Really, this happened 7 years ago.
Mm.
I left a beautiful piece of portobello mushroom to the side. And as I went to grab it, he
forked it away.
And he ate it, and he laughed like in my face because he knew that I needed it.
Right.
And
that makes it worse because he knows what it meant to you, and he still said,
right.
"Watch this, Eric."
So I'm yes.
How's that person doing now?
Oh well,
you're like, I don't know. Don't talk to him.
No, he's all right, but I will get my revenge.
Yeah, yeah, good.
So you guys, it sounds like you're in different places when it comes to the Umbrella Academy. You were
no,
like,
actually, I do like it.
You do like
I
it.
I like it. Yeah, yeah, I mean,
you like it a lot.
I enjoy it, but not in the like. But to Eric's point, I'm not binging it either.
Right.
So it's not one of the things where like I have to keep watching over and over.
Right.
But it's good, and I think more than anything, it sort of reignited my imagination a little bit creatively. Because when I thought about it, I was like, well, if the guy from My Chemical Romance could think this up,
yeah,
why the fuck can't I?
Yeah.
Shout out to whatever that guy, Gerard Way or something. Yeah.
It's a good story. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It expands the horizons of all creative goth kids.
I think,
like you. What is something you think is overrated, Eric?
Oh, countries.
I think nation states.
I'm starting to get done with it, right? I'm very thankful that, you know, in my first 12 years of life, I lived in 7 countries, and now I live here and stuff.
Right.
And so I'm very lucky that I get to actually experience life in all the countries, and all the countries have problems, all the countries have good things, they've all got races, they've all got lovely people, and I'm like, let's just open up. I'd like to just try an experiment where we just open up our borders, every single country, just to see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because so far, you know, borders haven't really worked.
Right.
So in, if anything, I'm like, fuck it. Let's just open it up. And also, surely, if you look at what's happened in history and presently and in the future, ultimately, we are going to become just one planet, right? We don't need borders. Let's just open it up.
Let's just party.
A free-for-all, yeah.
Let's party, baby.
International Federation. Let's get it done.
Also, when the ice caps start melting and stuff, the layout of the land is going to look so different. We're going to have a mass migration everywhere.
Yep, it could be water everywhere. Yeah, people are going to be talking Portuguese.
You know, Netherlands isn't going to exist anymore and stuff.
Oh, I know. That's really... I know the Dutch are very worried about that.
Yeah.
Because they are below sea level. And they're like, how do we fix our... We're kind of in a bind here, geographically.
Don't they have, locks and, all sorts of...
Oh, yeah, there's a very... Yeah, it's pretty remarkable what they've done.
Yeah, that's smart. They'll work it out. And they flooded themselves a couple of times before in history. During the Spanish War that they had, whenever Spain would sort of come to attack them, they were like, no, we don't want this. Just flood the land. Yeah. And they flooded the land.
Because they're better at dealing with their land flooded than...
Which I quite liked. I was like, yeah, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. That's what I do anytime I think there's a burglar in my house. Yeah. Just flood it.
Just flood it. Just keep flushing the toilet.
If I hear something.
Just turn all the sinks on.
Get all the showers going.
Yeah, shout out to William of Orange.
I will say, open borders versus closed borders. Open borders have the much better optics. Like, closed borders looks... If you want a quick way to make your country look like World War I, go to the border, where the most locked down border. It's just all fucking barbed wire and people in gas masks and
machine guns. Oh, you're saying open borders less scary?
Less scary. And yeah. And
yeah, just,
and
also, you know, acknowledge people's right to live and move around if they people need opportunity. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
I know that I'm very lucky with my job that I get to travel and stuff, but you know, and it's not easy if you want to travel and you've got 2 kids and so, you know, I appreciate that it's difficult for some people, but people need to get out of their own country and visit
seriously.
The world, because, and this is every country, but when they go, my country's the best country in the world, and I'm like, oh yeah, where else have you been?
Right.
I haven't been anywhere else because it's the best. And I'm like, okay, mate, good data.
Right.
Right, good, yeah.
That's amazing analysis there.
Right.
this pizza's the best. It's a margarita. Yeah, what else have you tried? Have you tried a nice vegetarian one or Supreme? No, I don't need to.
Nah, what's that?
Yeah, I'm like, oh mate, come on.
These bagel bites are the best pizza I've ever had. Hey, you ever had a real pizza? No. I don't need to.
Because this is the best.
Okay, well.
My food, therefore, henceforth.
Henceforth.
Bagel bite.
Herein, bagel bite is the new one.
Yes.
I mean, when pizza's on a bagel, I mean, you can have pizza anytime.
That's true.
So let's be real here.
Mm-hmm. That is not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Miles has... his pockets filled with bagel bites most of the time.
Yo, if I'm ever at your house and you have bagel bites, watch them disappear. I won't cook them there. I will put them in my pockets and I'll walk out with them.
You know what? One day you two need to come to my house and maybe have a cup of tea and some bagel bites.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to.
I've known you now for long enough that we should maybe hang out like real people.
What kind of tea?
Well, I actually have a nice variety.
Oh, wow.
Variety. I didn't mean to do that joke. It just naturally came out.
The only tea I drink is Brisk.
Baby.
Iced tea. Lipton's Brisk.
Okay.
And that's the only kind I've ever had. That's the only kind I ever need to have.
Jesus. Is there American? But Lipton is still an English product, isn't it not?
I think so.
Right? Because I don't think Americans, you know, tea wasn't our thing. What about the tabacky?
I don't think England created the brand with the giant block letters. It was like Brisk.
No, right. Yeah. And not to say that even
get
English
your
created
iced tea.
Remember those commercials that were claymation, and it was like Frank Sinatra and like fucking Sylvester Stallone? Like, whoa, that's Brisk, baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he like came back to life.
Yeah.
Just love that shit.
It was my favorite.
Why don't we sell products like that?
My favorite British imports culturally, I think.
Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah. What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false, Eric?
Oh, I went the opposite.
Okay.
People believe, so hypnotherapy.
people think it's
a lot of people
false.
A lot of people go, oh, it doesn't work, and it's right. like, well, maybe it didn't work for you once, like, you know, once because you, right. you tried it once, but it's quite a thing, because you've got to fully let go and you've got to allow yourself to have the therapist sort of get inside your brain.
Right.
And people are worried that it's going to be like a Get Out situation,
right.
where like you go to sleep and then they can make you just do, you know, go into the sunken place.
Right.
But it's not like that. It's like actually you put yourself in the sunken place and you're still there. Like
right.
you can fully snap out.
Even after
it.
You're still in the sunken place. Let's be real. We're all in the sunken place.
Right. Yeah. And if anything, like once you deal with your trauma, you get out of the sunken place.
Sure. Right. At least you have an idea of where you are.
Right.
Then you can be like, oh, I don't want to be here.
And it's quite interesting that, you know, I was a little bit dubious about hypnotherapy.
Right. Well, I think and people then, think of hypnosis as like the magician who's like, watch
like
this clock,
yeah.
and then, yeah, like, and when I do this, you're only going to speak in backwards.
Right, right.
Versus, yeah.
And, you know, it's about how susceptible you are. So, like, you know, if you allow yourself to just be like, okay, I'm going to have a good time, let's just do this, it works a lot easier than if you're scared. And actually, if you've got some really bad trauma that you're dealing with, or actually some secrets that you're ashamed of, you're unlikely to allow yourself to be hypnotized because you don't want those secrets to come out.
Right.
And so, eventually, that's why it doesn't work for some people. It's because
you're
not allowing it. You're not allowing it to come in.
You sound like a hypnosis expert who's just been thwarted at a demonstration. And then goes, I'm sorry, everyone. This is the problem. This person is not allowing for the hypnosis.
Has obviously experienced something very bad.
Something.
Or done something very bad.
And I'm not here to you know, cast aspersions or anything like that. But
right. What did you do, man?
But anyway. Otherwise, Barky, how you doing over there? Woof, woof. See, so it's all working out.
Shit.
But basically, I would like to recommend therapy to anyone who needs it.
Yeah.
That's kind of my point.
God.
It's just
we need
nice.
It all. Oh,
we
yeah.
We all need it. We all need a little
Well, and
bit.
Also, yeah, there's a catharsis you experience that, you know, comes out with being very candid and honest about yourself.
Yeah. It feels
person.
Good.
Yeah.
I generally, like, after I did it, I didn't realize that I was holding on to a pain that I had since I was 15. So it was 17
with the portobello
years.
Mushroom.
It was that.
Yeah.
And I'll have my revenge, yeah. which is what you want out of hypnotherapy. It's revenge.
Right.
Not love and compassion. But
you need to be clear about all your Arya Stark list you got to put together. Right. You're like, wait, hold on. This is great.
Yeah, your hypnotherapist is like, you missed one.
Right.
let's find the person that you missed that you need to add.
Tommy Lasorda.
Yeah.
What? Tommy Lasorda? What did he do?
Tommy gonna get a Lasorda.
Whoa.
A sword.
Okay.
Fight.
Jesus.
Anyways, let's talk about Michael Jackson
yes,
and
please.
Cancellations going on. So The Simpsons announced that they're going to pull the Michael Jackson episode in which Michael Jackson appears as a character who believes he's Michael Jackson.
Yeah, it was a Stark Raving Dad, I think is the name of the episode.
Yeah, and they're going to pull that out of their rotation of reruns. And, you know, a lot of people spent most of last week dealing with the information that we learned in the Neverland documentary. Miles, you kind of had some interesting observations.
I mean, even on the beginning of the week when the first two aired, the lack of Michael Jackson as a trending topic indicated to me that many people still have a very hard time processing all of the accusations from that documentary. And, you know, I've noticed too, R. Kelly sort of helped a lot of, I think, Michael Jackson fans or just people, cancel culture people in general, that it was easier to just focus on R. Kelly last week than it was even on Michael Jackson. Because I think a lot of people, even myself included, I have a lot, the reckoning that is happening within me of trying to reconcile my love for the music, the effect that the music has on me, what it means to me, and putting that next to a pattern of predation and sexual abuse and how I what that means to me, what that means to me to like the music, all that. It's very, very, it's heavy. And a lot of, especially for African-American people, and I said this last week, it's a very heavy topic because Michael is much more than music in a general sense. And he's a cultural touchstone. And, you know, to the credit of the filmmakers.
Well, cultural touch kids.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. to the credit
keep
of,
it sorry
no, yeah, at Eric Lampert so at sorry. the Come on, I had to. Yeah. No, no, it's a very awkward subject, and I think it's the same way people like have the R. Kelly memes came out. It's very hard to deal with the gravity of everything, right? Even the filmmaker himself was saying the point of the documentary isn't necessarily about dragging Michael Jackson through the dirt or anything. It's about telling the story of the effect of this sexual abuse on these two young men that they carry out through their lives.
Telling the story of the victims.
Exactly.
It's always about the fucking, like,
the
guy.
Monster,
like,
right.
I think in France it's illegal to say the name of someone that commits, like, a crime, like a mass shooting and stuff.
Right.
Because it makes them famous, and therefore we just don't want that. And for some reason, America is so like, yeah, who's the one that did all the fucking crime? Let's make him famous. And then, oh, forget all these 20 people that died.
Sure.
Like, and it's the same. When I watched Leaving Neverland, I was like, no, this is important. It's good to hear their point of view. And also what I found interesting, and I hope I don't phrase this badly so people start crying over, like, the air, but it was interesting to hear their sort of story of love. Right. Mm-hmm. In that, like, I felt like Michael Jackson, what it seemed like he did was obviously terrible, but I think he just confused love.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, when you juxtapose that with the history of abuse he experienced as a child, it's a lot of people tend to look at these things in a vacuum rather than a continuation of some cycle of abuse.
Like, we're privileged enough to actually to have known Michael Jackson since he was a little boy, and we know the abuse that he had, and it's not excusable what he's done.
No.
But it's actually interesting to go, oh, okay, so, you know, if we can now work out in the future, like, the root of problems and actually help people at the root rather than just allow them to domino effect into a pedophile.
Yeah.
Right.
Surely that is how we heal as a people. Is,
right.
You know, because with R. Kelly, I didn't really know much about him before. And so I was like, oh, what am I going to lose? Ignition and stuff? And I Believe I Can Fly. And yeah, that sucks.
I guess, but and I think too, even with last week, everything going on, I saw a lot of people just, it was like a race to the bottom for cancel culture. Of people being like, well, let's talk about Elvis Presley. And let's talk about his 14-year-old wife and for like teenagers that he was being romantic with or all the other dark shit that was happening in his relationships.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I don't think it's not a culture war scoreboard, more so that, like, I think what we're trying to do is just even culturally is have a reckoning about how we talk about child sex abuse.
Yeah.
And if it's a thing, we don't have to be like, ooh, that's too dark.
Right.
Or like, let's avoid that because it makes us uncomfortable. It's precisely about to connect it with the rest of humanity to say, this is an ongoing issue that for whatever reason, it's much easier for us to not talk about because of how difficult and dark it is.
Yeah.
But like, how are we now advancing to begin talking about this and advocate for victims and try and make this something that isn't just a taboo topic and just something we can fully
we
bring
need
out.
To talk about it. I mean, it's been going on for years. I mean, the Greeks and stuff like that, like, everyone's been doing it.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to use people like Michael Jackson because we all know him.
Right.
Right.
The whole world knows him. So then we can use him as a platform to talk about it. You know, and because I briefly mentioned it to you two boys before we started recording that my mum was sexually abused when she was like 10, 10, 11. And I did speak to her about me allowing to talk about it. I did say, like, can I talk about it? And stuff.
Right.
And she was like, yeah, no, definitely. You need to talk about it and stuff. And it happens to everyone. Like, you know, like, ultimately, you'll know a friend, you'll know a family member, you'll know someone has been abused, and maybe they don't talk to you about it because they're scared of your reaction. And so many people, they'll say something and then they're not getting believed.
Right.
So then they just keep it to themselves, and it sucks.
Yeah. And then we also tend to view sometimes, you know, we all, like you say, we know people who have, there's a high chance we know someone with that kind of history in their past, that you can also kind of see how it manifests into their adulthood too. And sometimes it's still not talked about because of the shame around. And I think to remove the stigma of being a victim too is important. And yeah, it's just, again, it's one of these huge cultural moments that I think even, you know, there were articles about people talking to wedding DJs and saying, like, how will this affect your job as a wedding DJ? Will you play Michael Jackson's music anymore? And a lot of people said, there were people who have been DJing since the 90s to people who have just been DJing the last 10 years and who have said, you know, when he died, everyone was very interested in the music because his death allowed a little bit of space in between what people kind of probably knew but weren't willing to acknowledge and were able to use that to sort of re-engage with his music. And they said, well, have you talked to people who, like, don't want the music played? They say, yeah, I meet people who, like, clients who don't want the music played.
Yeah.
Other people say they need the music to be played. And
can the music be seen as also an insight into what he was going through? Like, I was thinking, as soon as I watched Leaving Neverland, I thought of Man in the Mirror.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's asking the man in the mirror to change.
Yeah,
and right. I was thinking, is he talking to himself here? Is he trying to find a way to change? But it's so fucking hard to change by yourself. I think that's one of the reasons why I brought up hypnotherapy.
Right.
Was because before I did it, I would snap. If things didn't go my way, mm-hmm. I would throw a little fucking tantrum.
Right.
Like a little bloody boy that I was. And the reason I did that is because I was stuck at 15-year-old me.
Right.
I was a 32-year-old man. But for some reason, and this is something that I forgot, I didn't realize I was holding on to it, but I was holding on to a pain that happened to me as a kid. And Freud talks about it, and so many other people. The monomyth is about these heroes that have to tackle their Oedipus complex and stuff. Like, what, you know, when I look at trophy hunters, I go, who did you really kill, your mum or your dad?
Like,
right. Because ultimately, people look up to their parents, rightly so, because we idolize them, because we need to for survival. Right. And then we forget that when they make a mistake, we hold on to it like, I can't believe my parents did this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. What right? the fuck is wrong?
But then
wrong
you
with
realize,
them, right?
Surely, as an adult, not only are we all just improvising through life, because this is, and no one knows what they're doing.
Without even a one-word suggestion.
Right? And so we have to yes and everything, and it's terrifying. And then you realize, oh shit, my parents are just people.
Right.
Once you can realize that they're people, you realize, oh man, like what, you know, they did their best.
Yeah.
And sometimes their best can be fucking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that might still be their best based on how their parents treated them. And you go back and forth. And it's the same thing with Michael Jackson. You could sort of get a glimpse into why he became the monster that was. But it's... He did a horrible thing. And it shouldn't be forgiven. It should be in that, like... I don't know how to express it.
Culture, I think, is an absurd way to describe dealing with the consequences of the things that people did, or not having a double standard for famous people, you know, not just letting people get away with shit and not ignoring the consequences. We should look at Elvis insofar as that was a behavior that happened. But I think the people who are objecting to cancel culture, I think, like to frame it as a, well, then they just say it's either black and white, and if they did something bad, then you immediately cancel them. And I think that there's probably room for people who, like the wedding DJ said, like, don't want to necessarily remove all of his music. And, you know, I have a friend who was like, I still am going to listen to his music. And I was like, are you going to watch the documentary? And he was like, fuck no.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, I mean,
that's a shame as well, because it is his right. But I feel like,
yeah, you can't bury your head in the sand either,
ignore,
because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, you can't ignore the negative things in life. And negative and positive things happen in life, and we just got to talk about both of them.
Yeah.
And people are just always fucking obsessed about, I need to be happy. I need to be happy. And so they just ignore everything that's sad. And it's like, if you're ignoring everything that's sad, you're actually deluding yourself.
Right. And even with this, right, it's like I look at it and like, well, am I shitty because I'm a fan of Michael Jackson's music? Or... is this more to do with my ability to deal with the darkness of acknowledging someone's like history of predation,
right,
or to understand that this is an actual problem? And it just forces so much introspection, at least for me personally, throughout all of this, because I'm like, what am I trying to preserve myself from? It's like, well, it's not that I advocate for child sex abuse because
it's
I'm
just
a fan.
The music.
Right.
Like,
but
if his music pops on the radio, his songs are fucking amazing.
Right.
Forget Michael Jackson. Forget the man. Just listen to the music.
Right. Right.
The music is stunning. The music is amazing. Put it on in a discotheque and you will beat and you will pop and you will dance.
Right.
And it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter.
It does.
That the person, you know, committed crimes. But the music itself is separate. Is this separate?
Well, but that's the thing, is then you get into the whole argument of like, can you separate the art from the artist and all these other things? And then it's like, well, then is there like a predator period of Michael Jackson music that's okay to listen to because that was prior to this? You know what I mean?
Like, for example, right, R. Kelly is still alive now. If he still made songs now, I'd be like, someone somewhere is fucking up.
Right.
Right.
Because he's quite clearly an abuser, right? But Michael Jackson's dead.
Right.
Like, and it doesn't mean let it go, but let's concentrate on the victims. Let's help them heal.
Yeah.
But he's gone, guys. Like, just, and the music exists. Like,
yeah.
People are so obsessed with deleting history No, learn from the fucking history, you bunch of cunts.
Right, right.
Apologies for getting
angry. No, absolutely.
But people are just...
Right.
They just want to live in their fucking bubble on both sides.
Continue to play his music, but then understand that part of the meaning of that music now has changed. The context has changed for playing that music.
And respect that some person might completely object to that, and you also have to respect that person's, you know, if they're completely...
And if somebody asks you to turn his music off or not play it at their wedding, obviously,
and I think
respect
that. Yeah. And I think it'll be fun, you know, because then you've got a different meaning to Beat It.
Right.
To Smooth Criminal.
Man in the Mirror is really interesting because, first of all, Man in the Mirror, like, he was somebody who did not accurate, you know, he had horrible body and, you know, just person dysmorphia. So he couldn't accurately see his own reflection in the mirror. But then also, like you were talking about, he's asking himself to change, but he's also the only person, because he was so famous, he's the only person who is holding himself to account, you know? Like, he's trying to police his own behavior. And, like, that just, I think it's a good point that you brought up therapy, because that's the value of therapy, is you can't look at yourself and be objective and be the person policing yourself. You need to bring somebody else in and tell them about what you're dealing with. Like,
other people are your mirrors.
Yes.
And the reason I went into hypnotherapy was because my ex-wife, she pointed out that I needed mothering. Right. And I was like, oh, interesting. Like, and I was like, oh, I didn't realize. Like, I'll work on that. And she was like, but, you know, don't be embarrassed by it. Like, it was obvious. Yeah. Like, you got abandoned by your mom at the age of 15.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that's interesting, right? And so all of a sudden I realized that I was jumping from one relationship to another,
right?
And I was doing the same patterns that I felt like I couldn't control.
Right.
And
you're like, why am I always ending up with the same type of person, same kind of relationship?
Yeah, and it was annoying me. I was like,
change my diaper.
And so it was annoying me, and that's why I did the hypnotherapy and I got rid of it. And then I realized, I was looking at my dad, and my dad got abandoned by his mom at the age of 8. So not only did he repeat the cycle onto me, right? But also now I'm looking at his relationships and he's just jumping from one to another.
Yeah.
I'm going, oh man, that's so fucking sad. And then you look at people in general. Literally all of us have, you know, this thing inside of us.
That there are cycles of abuse or trauma that we don't even realize we're still
however small or big.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Some people it might be a small thing, but it, you know, it's a ripple effect.
You're bumping up against the, you know, it's like an intersection of believing victims, empowering victims, holding people to account, celebrity cult. There's so many fucking layers to it that it's not like, it's not the question, is a child sex predator good or bad?
Right.
It's this, it's what does that mean as, you know, this person is dead, that they've left a legacy culturally that people still have, you know, that they've absorbed through osmosis.
It's super difficult because I watched a thing yesterday and I was like, I'm not going to give up my music.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm not, because I love his music.
Yeah. And but you're still, but yeah, it does, like
I may
Jack
not
said,
play
it
in the car.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing, is that it's going to be different for people who are victims of abuse, right?
100%.
To hear Michael Jackson music, and that's going to have its own connotations. Like I was saying, it changes the context, so we need to be sensitive to that. And if somebody doesn't want to hear Michael Jackson music, or maybe like ask before you put it on, like, is everybody cool if I play a Michael Jackson song?
Yeah, that's interesting.
But that's not like, I don't know, people are just like, oh, so now because you're criticizing him, then he's totally canceled and I can't listen to Thriller ever again. And it's like, no, I don't think the options are either we can never talk about him again, or we listen to his music without any consequences.
Yeah, blasting it in the street, right?
I think it's just that we are acknowledging something that happened and that we have to deal with, and that is now a part of this story that, you know, that has been a part of everybody's lives. And let's just not bury our head in the sand one way or another.
At a minimum, the era of willful ignorance around it has ended.
Yes. Guys, I feel like we are on the verge of solving the human condition, but we have to go to a break, unfortunately. So maybe next time, I don't know. We'll be right back.
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, how to bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and Captain Marvel, big ups to Captain Marvel, had a big weekend at the box office. I think Box Office Mojo had it anywhere between 135 and 175 million, which...
Is that good?
Yeah, it's really good.
I don't know. I'm so rich, you know.
Right, yeah.
I don't know to you guys, a lot of money.
So this is, I think, wild for a couple reasons. One, another L for the... male community of people who try to influence the how successful a movie is, like by downvoting it
on Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, because they took that ability away.
Yeah, so the backlash from men who hadn't seen it and were just mad that there was a female superhero movie.
I think that nerds, sometimes nerds
right.
are a bit mad, and I'm a nerd.
Right, but so we're going to get into the nerd of it all in a moment. The other... kind of thing that stood out to me about Captain Marvel is we were sitting here recording a week and a half ago, and a fighter jet flyover, like in formation, like it was the fucking Super Bowl, happened like during one of our recordings. And usually we don't have that. Like, I think it's warranted for a Daily Zeitgeist recording to have a fighter jet flyover. But we did a little research and it turns out it wasn't for us. It was for they were practicing for that evening's premiere of Captain Marvel. And apparently Captain Marvel is one of the biggest military propaganda movies of all time. It's like up there with Top Gun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like all the fighter
jets. Is that just because of, you mean like the hardware, the equipment that they allowed them to use, or the care? I don't even really,
So when Top Gun happened, there was a 500% rise in application to the U.S. Navy.
Right.
100%. And I think that's the same sort of thing with this. Like, Interstellar created more astronaut applications.
Right.
And so, like, when you look at, like, Captain Marvel and she's this
well,
so it makes people want
to... You can't make... I haven't seen Captain Marvel, so I don't know the specific details, but with regards to Top Gun, you could not have made that movie without Pentagon being a, like, at least, like, huge partner in the production of that movie, because... they're the only ones who have fucking aircraft carriers.
Right, there's not, like, some guy doesn't have one to rent.
Right, you can't rent an aircraft carrier, so the Pentagon was, like, a...
Oh, yeah, I got, like...
necessary ingredient, and they don't fuck around when it comes to script oversight. They're like, oh, okay, you're making a movie, we're going to make one with you, and we're bringing our script consultant out, and they're going to be in the room for the scripting and all the creative decisions from this point forward. Yeah, that, like, once you invite the Pentagon in, you get access to a lot of really cool toys, and you
and
also...
the Pentagon are really good script supervisors.
Right? Oh, yeah. They have great instincts.
Yeah, what's his face? The guy who wrote Adaptation? I think he was
Charlie
there before.
Kaufman.
Yeah, Charlie Kaufman was there before.
Right, at the Pentagon.
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson, I also believe,
did a
little
residency.
Stint there. Yeah, just doing some commercials.
Right.
But yeah, I think, you know, where's the Top Gun for teachers? You know what I mean? That's what we need. We need a good film like that so people can be like, yo,
like
we need good teachers.
Guitar lick for a teacher.
Yeah.
And she just keeps walking into the classroom day one. Yeah. And then finally, the thing that stood out about this particular Marvel movie to me is that this was the first one where I didn't know anything about this character until she was introduced.
You knew about Ant-Man?
I knew about Ant-Man.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I didn't know shit about Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I thought the Wasp was this dude I went to high school
with. Well, because that was somebody's nickname?
Yeah, dude, Brett.
What a great...
Boat Shoe Brett.
What
Brett,
a great self...
Yeah.
Oh, the Wasp. Okay, Boat Shoe Brett. Now I get it.
White Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Right. I think I only knew about Ant-Man because I'd been saying that they needed to remake Honey, I Shrunk the Kids as an action-adventure movie for the with modern special effects. And people were like, they're going to with Ant-Man.
It's called Ant-Man.
But anyway, so Eric, you were saying that this is part of sort of the afterlife of the Avengers movies, right?
Yeah, so I don't know too much, but I know that you've got the original Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, and all of that. And I know that at some point they are going to either die or stop being part of the Avengers, and new people are going to come in. And that's why I think they've introduced Captain Marvel, who will be part of the Avengers. And I believe there's a trailer for the next Spider-Man. I can't remember his name, but Jake Gyllenhaal's superhero character, Mysterion. I can't remember. No, Mysterion's in South Park. But there is a sort of, he's got like a sort of aquarium head.
Oh, interesting.
Fishbowl helmet.
Oh, he's Mysterio.
Mysterio, yeah. Right. So I know that I believe that these guys become Avengers in the future.
Oh.
Because after Avengers Endgame, it's not the end. It's just the end game for like Tony Stark, for example.
I'm still haven't watched Civil War.
It's a good one, actually.
Or what was the other one? The one where Thanos is in, because I'm afraid of what happens in it. I heard Infinity War.
Yeah.
I don't know if...
That's a great movie.
I don't know if I can handle it.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting one because I think you're on the side of Thanos.
I'm definitely a fan of Theranos,
right?
And all the work they do. So
yeah,
by
you put a lot of money in that. I have to update you on how that company ended up doing.
What do you mean?
No,
bro, I just put a down payment on this yacht, bro.
Okay.
And you're gonna be laughing when you're not there.
I know
boy.
You and the Wasp went
Brett,
in on that.
Brett.
Brett went in on that on that down payment together.
Mr. Pink Shorts.
Right.
But our nerd's angry because basically I think Captain Marvel was a man and she eventually becomes Captain Marvel in the comics. and she does work with him.
Oh, get so fucking
she,
over
it's
it.
It's something like that, right? It's like right. she works with him, and then when he retires, she becomes it, and they just bypass that storyline.
Right.
Right. And I think that that's what the nerds are angry about.
Well, that, and also she said that it was more of a criticism of a lot of the journalists she said she was encountering during the press tour,
right.
which tend to skew like male, older, and white. And she right. was like, I wish I was talking with other people. Like, oh, okay, so you don't need white men to go to the movie? Heard.
Right.
And now we're going to roast the Rotten Tomatoes score.
If white men need to watch some movies, watch literally anything made before the 90s. Because
just now, really.
The 90s.
There's still a high chance now you're going to be right. fine with what you see.
I've started watching like older movies just for a bit of fun because I've mm-hmm. not watched the old cinema. And uh-huh. my goodness, it's just white men and one woman going, I don't know what I'm doing. Right. I'm like,
they're like, stand
wow.
back now, I'll take control.
Right, right.
It's super interesting.
Yeah.
Like a little glimpse into like, and that, again, erasing cinema, erasing history. Like just because they're just full of white men and they're kind of misogynist and racist and stuff. Do we just delete that cinema?
No, you need to look at that so you can go,
let's not
do
that,
again.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, just like what? It's the same thing. It's in the same way. A lot of like in the South, they don't like to teach too much about slavery,
right?
Because if you don't see it, then it's hard for you to think that that's a bad thing,
right?
But if you're confronted in with your eyes to look at these scars on the backs of right. slaves, listen to these whole stories, you're yeah. more likely to go, ooh,
yeah,
I'm gonna do that. But although, I mean, still it's a cycle we're still trying to end too in this country,
right?
Mm-hmm. I asked a German pal if they taught World War II and stuff in their schools, and they were like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
And I was like, good. That's like an interesting thing that they were very adamant about teaching it.
Sure.
Yeah. They did a good job with their reaction to World War II, I feel like, from a history.
Yeah, it looks like Germany turned it around a little bit.
Right.
They gave it two goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Third time lucky, though. You never know. Maybe they're planning the next one.
Yeah, and now, despite all of their best efforts, there are right-wing extremist groups
it's everywhere.
That are on the rise up.
Reich 3, you're out.
Oh, no.
I like it.
You know what I mean? Baseball. Yeah. Nazis. Boom.
Oh, now I get what you're referring to.
Yep.
Baseball Nazis, huh?
Is that a movie yet?
Baseball Nazis?
Baseball Nazis? I feel like everyone's doing like Nazis, zombie Nazis, something with Nazis.
They did soccer Nazis in an 80s movie starring Sylvester Stallone.
They did?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I think it was called Victory. And it was like.
Was Sylvester Stallone playing a freaking soccer player?
I think so, yeah.
Hey.
You're very good at Sylvester Stallone.
Hey, you want to watch me freaking hit this free kick from outside the 18? Upper V? All right.
He's got all the lingo. Stallone, great footballer.
We're still playing three in the back here. All right,
all right. Paul Manafort.
Fuck.
Got hit. So Mueller's recommendation was a minimum of 19 years.
Those are just the sentencing guidelines. Those are like the ones Congress says, like for these kinds of crimes, this is the minimum is around 19 years. Mueller was like, there's no reason to go easy on this guy. Basically, that's
right.
why I was like, here we go.
Right. That it was going to be lights out for him. For
Guerrilla Radio.
And it turns out that the judge did not like that advice.
Yeah.
Because he sentenced him to 47 months.
Yeah, basically. With 9 months served already.
Right.
So, for these financial crimes. Now, I think this has led to all kinds of people being like, the fix is in because the person said he's like lived an otherwise blameless life, which is like really all the fucking PR spin for he's done for like dictators and shit and literally sending the Russians polling info, whatever, fine. About the judge, right? This judge in particular, Elliot, he is not a fan of being told what to do when it comes to sentencing. Like he does not like he's like, I'm the judge. I'm the one presiding over this. That's what you suggest.
Sounds
this is
healthy.
How I will rule. Right.
He sounds like, yeah.
He's pushed back actually, on certain instances about mandatory minimums for drug dealers. So he kind of, this is sort of consistent with his brand of just
right.
like, don't tell me what, I'm the judge. I'll do what I want to in my court. Thank you for the suggestion. I'm still the judge.
And it
However,
also seems
yeah.
like part of his deal is he recognizes that federal penitentiary is like a very bad place to be. He's like, anybody who's saying that this is too easy has never been inside a
a federal prison.
Well, this one he would be going to is for a white collar crime. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's not like he's going to Sing Sing or something
right,
like that.
Right.
But again, even with like white collar crimes, I think there was some stat they said that like almost 66% of the time he was staying within guidelines, and other times he would sort of be a little more lenient. And people were like, well, what's so different about Paul Manafort? Like, what's going on? And I think the bigger discussion is probably going to be around the way we treat white collar crime in general.
Yes.
Because there are still motherfuckers who, like, what that woman who voted in Texas while on probation and, like, she had the wrong ID or something. They put her in prison for 5 years. Or just all the people in prison for marijuana still.
Oh, mate.
You know what I mean?
That is like, insane.
And I think that's what sort of the issue to me is, because he still has to face Amy Berman Jackson in D.C. in his D.C. case, and he could probably get up to 10 years from her. And at his age, look, it's not going to be a joyride, no matter how you look at it. But right. I think the idea of how we look at crime and the sentencing, I think, is a bigger issue, too, that we should begin discussing, because these disproportionate sentences where it's like, oh, well, look, if you're a white rich guy or you do rich people crimes, we know you mean well. You're not wacky that you just deceived people and defrauded people.
Yeah.
But someone who might have stole some shit to support their family, or, you know, is dealing drugs because that's their only financial recourse.
Let's get them.
Bury them under the fucking
jail. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and it sort of wears down our trust in these institutions, right? The presidency, the executive were like, whatever.
Right.
Congress were like, look at the Republicans. They're not willing to do shit. Slowly, the judiciary is also crumbling, too, because we're like, well, look at how they're stacking the Supreme Court. It's become partisan there. We're not even seeing like a real actual blind application of justice and the law.
I sometimes feel like the government, and this is not just, you know, this Trump administration, but it's previous governments and it's governments around the world at the moment. It seems like they really want people to start just losing hope. You know, like they just keep throwing something just to go, you know, we are in power here and we're going to fuck you over.
Yeah.
And at some point, I'm French, mate. Like, we behead the people.
Yeah, yeah, I love your Bastille Day tattoo, man. That
thanks,
was
man.
Really dope.
We're going to come for you at some point, government, if you don't start getting your shit together.
Yeah. Well, Americans are very comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't, the last time people pulled up like that was in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or the revolution.
Yeah.
And I think there's
also it's quite a large country. It's quite hard to
Yeah, it's large. And also because it's been so prosperous, I think people are now only starting to feel the sting of being totally fucked by capitalism in this
right.
country. And that's why now people are like, hey, what the fuck is going on? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be a bit of a journey. But you can hear more about that in an upcoming podcast we're doing called It Could Happen Here.
Yes, you
with
can.
Robert Evans.
Mm-hmm. Dropping March 28th.
Yeah.
Talking
about how a civil war could happen here.
Could actually happen
yeah.
in the next
yeah.
couple of years in the United States. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and Ilhan Omar keeps it hot in the Congress, in this U.S. Congress.
Yeah.
You know, in addition to all the controversies she's created with her statements about Israel.
Manufactured controversy.
Right, manufactured controversy. But she does not shy away from, you know, speaking her mind when it comes to that story. People are also going crazy because she said some things about the Obama administration that are not deemed as that cool. Obama's a good guy, right?
What? He's one of Barack the good guys. Drone Obama?
So that is causing some people to kind of look at her askance. But it's all okay because they passed a hate speech decree saying hate speech is bad. Is that
hate
right?
speech is bad. Isms are bad. Mm-hmm. Phobias are bad. And that's that. Can we move on now? Because we've done our thing. Look, they passed that weird bill that we were talking about last week, how it got very watered down and just turned into a general just sort of resolution about we don't like this stuff. Great. Sounds like a real easy thing to just pass almost unanimously, right?
Right.
The bill is basically saying we as a Congress, we fucking denounce this kind of shit.
What kind of shit?
Like, you know, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, just racism in general, all that kind of shit. But still, 24 Republicans found a way to say, I don't agree with that statement in a very roundabout way. Because they wanted that bill to turn into not just a racism's bad, okay, bill, into a Ilhan Omar hates Jews and the Dems are okay with it, so they are the Nazis, not us, the people that actually are Nazi sympathizers.
Yeah.
Because, look, your boy Steve King, he didn't vote no, he voted present. So a true profile and courage. And the other Republicans that voted against it were basically saying, it's watered down. It didn't go far enough because I think they just wanted to see her completely run out on a rail and just been just lambasted by this thing rather than just being like, what about the sentiment of this bill? Why don't you just vote purely on that?
Here.
Yep.
That's how I answer yes or no questions.
Yeah, right.
By just shouting, I'm here.
Jack, you love your kids?
Here. Present.
Do you ever just feel sorry for the people that go against what feels like the good or the love, or the right choice? Does that make sense?
They're never happy, right?
I actually genuinely do feel sorry for the people that are so angry at others.
Right.
You know, like, it for me, it genuinely seems kind of illogical.
It's a painful place, I think, to be in, constantly in a state of hatred.
Yeah, like, I wake up every day and I go, you know, and I've worked on it, again, the therapy thing. I wake up and I go, oh, okay, this is nice. How can I be nice today? You know, sure. How can I do my life and be nice?
My eyes have
and
opened.
Some people just wake up and go, I hate Muslims.
Well, part of me, look, if you're in a position, if you're in a position of power and you can actually translate that hate into real world violence or disenfranchisement or oppression for other people, I don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I need you to fall the fuck all the way back.
And in fact, they're probably too busy winning from like cynically manipulating those emotions of other people,
but general
to
people who
feel
are,
the pain.
Yeah, regular people out there who have hate in your heart. Look, I hope your eyes are open because that's not a way to live. It's not good for you. It's toxic.
It's literally not good for you.
Yeah, that's toxic.
That's what people don't understand. It's like road rage. When I see people just losing their fucking shit in a car, and I'm like, you know that anger is not being transferred to the car ahead of you.
Right.
It's just you, and now the passengers are stuck inside of your car, just rah, rah, rah.
Right, and your cells are on a cellular level. They've been like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's like just
it's like
chill
drinking
out.
Poison to try to kill somebody else. It's like, that's not how that works.
Yeah, but you know, again, the Republicans really they just wanted to take this moment because they realize they're on the side of the worst president of all time.
They're all in. It's like poker.
Yeah. Right? The WOAT, not the GOAT. The WOAT, worst of all time. And they need as many distractions as they can. I mean, listen to even how Donald Trump was talking about the Democrats despite all of his racist commentary.
Because it's become, the Democrats have become an anti-Israel party. They've become an anti-Jewish party. And I thought that vote was a disgrace, and so does everybody else if you get an honest answer.
Yeah.
Everybody else. Look.
What does he know about honesty?
I like that you ended with honest answer. I'm like,
so,
wow.
I hadn't fully understood that the dual allegiance thing was something that Jewish people were sensitive about because it was one of Hitler's early allegations about Jews was that they weren't true Germans, they weren't truly allegiant to Germany, and therefore he used that as justification to persecute them. So I get the sensitivity. I just want to make sure that the people making the complaint about Ilhan Omar were also complaining when Donald Trump said during the Republican primary that Jews didn't like him because he didn't give them money, but that he liked them because they're good at negotiations.
And did we forget the good people on both sides?
Right.
Has anyone forgotten the day when Nazis killed someone?
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Did anyone forget?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm losing my mind.
No, it's true. And I think that's why it's even more disheartening to see the Democratic leadership be like, oh yeah, okay, let's we want to change the optics around this situation by condemning that without just being like, excuse anti what?
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Mr. Fucking Both Sides?
Yeah. If the people who get mad about Omar or anybody criticizing Israel also disavowed the president back when he said the first anti-Semitic thing, he said, I'm good. We can have a conversation. Until then, you can go fuck yourself.
I would really enjoy someone ask the president, tell me about Israel and Palestine. Go on, tell me the history.
Right.
Because I honestly don't know.
Okay? Yeah, I mean, from what BB
told
me.
I don't really know, but I feel like you two need to sort it out because I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah, Netanyahu told me very bad. They're very bad people. They don't pay their taxes. They use other people's logins for Netflix. Mm-hmm. So they're criminals. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he has no idea. He has no, yeah.
And it's okay
he doesn't
to not
know anything
know.
About history. Right.
Like, it's okay to not, this is to everyone listening. It's okay to not know. Just find out.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's precisely his psychology. He's like, he's one of those people who never lets you know that he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
And in fact, if you ask many people, saying.
Yeah. Everyone's saying that I'm an expert in Israel, Palestine.
Yeah. Wow. Is that your Trump?
I don't know. I've never tried it.
It felt very Trumpian.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
We can workshop it.
Good is a strong word. let's talk about who the president hangs out with and takes pictures with. This is just a fun.
Well, quick, it's just a quick and
quick story. Just a quick. Let's call it a Google image search check-in. You can find the president in photographs with the founder of the massage parlor where Robert Kraft was caught soliciting sex. And these photographs are not like back in the 70s when they were both in college. They are from the past couple months.
It's from Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes.
This last Super Bowl when the fucking Patriots were winning.
Yes.
She took a selfie, this woman, Cindy Yang. I mean, she's not named in any of the charging documents because, you know, that whole bust uncovered an entire network of massage places that were just trafficking women.
Right.
But she began those businesses, and she herself apparently has another, like a massage parlor spa that is under some police scrutiny for kind of the same thing where management is encouraging the employees to offer sex and things like that. You know, it's interesting. This woman, Cindy Yang, like she has a photo with so many Republican like leaders. Like
yeah.
She's got a Palin selfie. She's got one with Matt Gaetz. She's got one with Eric Trump, Don Jr.
Mm.
She's got them all. But again, you know, just interesting
to see.
She's got
like five pictures with President Trump. It seems.
Yeah, she has another one where like straight up like them looks like a prom photo with like a backdrop, and he signed it with his weird like EKG reading signature that looks like a heart monitor rhythm. But yeah, just an interesting photo that a lot of people were like, oh, wow. So this person's around Mar-a-Lago. And I don't even mean to say that this woman is directly implicated because I don't even want to, I'm not even trying to do that. But again, interesting to see that.
She was the owner of the massage parlor where Robert Kraft was caught soliciting sex, right?
Right. And then that business was sold to these other people.
This is soliciting sex from human traffic people.
Yes.
Correct?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some bad news, I think, for everybody. I don't think there's anybody who isn't an Alex Trebek fan slightly. And Alex Trebek has announced he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which just sucks. I don't really have anything to add about it other than that.
He seemed, very stoic when he announced it. And it made it almost harder to watch in a weird way. Like,
is he the Jeopardy guy?
Yes.
How did he announce it? Did he announce it in a fun way?
He did it at the podium like he always does. And I want to share with you a bit of personal news. Like, that's how he did it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was very straightforward. He said, I've been diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, but I'm going to fight this. I will continue this season.
Oh, good for
him. He had a very positive attitude. But, you know, he's had a lot of health issues. He's one of those people who you just know and probably grown up with, depending on how much Jeopardy you watch. But yeah.
Well, good luck to him. It's good that he's like positive.
Positive,
about it,
yeah,
I
yeah.
You,
I mean,
you need to, right?
Yeah, well, especially with it's very serious. I mean, stage 4 is like
they say 95%.
I just wish that he did it in the sort of Jeopardy style.
Right.
Right. It's like, and that is
it
the,
doesn't look good.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh my God, Alex. Like, right. Look, I'm trying to laugh about this.
Because you got it, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, a little bit of news from the UK.
No. Can I just apologize now? I'm sure it's shit news.
Kind of. So Kensington Palace has made moves to tackle online abuse against Meghan Markle. Basically, there's been a uptick in hate speech towards her of late. I think now that...
What is wrong with people?
Yeah, but it's weird because it seems like it's a very coordinated effort. They said that a sample of more than 5,000 tweets containing anti-Meghan hashtags showed just horrifying racism, but also showed that 20 accounts were responsible for about 70% of the tweets. So it's like the Russian internet... Research society or whatever.
Research agency, yeah.
Research, the IRA is like out here being like, nah, we can't let this Meghan Markle. She's like a symbol of hope for the Western world or something.
She's a princess.
Right.
Like, right.
Fuck off. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, well, she's a princess now. You think you think your little tweets are going to hurt her?
Right.
Like, no, just stop. Get out your basement. Look at the sun.
Right.
For a bit. And not look at the sun.
Well, yeah.
Well, maybe, I mean, if you're wasting your time posting dumb racist shit on the internet, why don't you take a long, hard look at the sun?
Yeah. That's actually good. I like that better. And like, take a long, hard look at yourself if you think they are not beyond saving. But if they're beyond saving, take a long, hard look at the sun.
I just
like the idea of like a 56-year-old man with a beer gut.
Right.
You know,
right.
In his garage or garage or whatever you say. And he's just like, oh, I'm going to show Meghan. I'm going to show her because she's black.
I mean, it may. Yeah, I mean, look what happened in this country. We had our first black president.
Yeah.
And that opened the floodgates.
Holy
so
shit.
It makes sense that you have a woman of color coming into the royal family, that there is some kind of backlash in that sense.
Well, isn't that
not
why...
Not justifying, but I'm like, this is the shit that happens.
Isn't that why Princess Diana supposedly died?
Because of Dodi Al-Fayed?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, supposedly, that's a conspiracy, but it's an interesting one, certainly.
Yeah, well, one we talk about. I think we've talked about that with you last time, maybe.
Potentially.
Oh, and also, Mohammed Al-Fayed, remember he owned Fulham Football Club and had a statue of Michael Jackson outside of Craven Cottage.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, and then they took it down.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He owned Harrods, right? I think, Dodi Al-Fayed.
Yeah,
anyway,
he does, yeah.
That was, man, I remember, I was really into that whole Diana thing when I was like a kid.
The conspiracy theories?
Well, at first I wasn't like, the conspiracy theories weren't coming in like in 97 when it started happening, but like I remember I read everything about it for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Well, I think it's because everyone was telling you to read it, right? Like I remember being in France and like when the news broke out and stuff, and because it was old news all the time, it was old in papers, you naturally just go, oh, well, that's what's important now. And you just naturally just zombify yourself to whatever the headline is.
Well, I think mine was because... Again, I talk about this all the time. I have the same birthday as Prince Harry. Right. And I was like, oh, man. I wonder if, like, that could have been my mom.
Right.
Could have been
in a way, she was everybody's mother.
In that way. Thank you so much. Right. And that's how I found peace.
Right. That's nice. Shit. So what do you believe there's a conspiracy?
Well, what I believe in is a life after love.
Do you believe?
1999 has fucked my brain up.
Thanks for sharing.
The year 1999. Ooh,
you're very welcome.
Sharing. Hey. Not the best in the biz for nothing. Eric, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And I'm not just saying that because of the share pun, although that did help.
Listeners, though, quickly, may I say, I've got an album out called Alien of Extraordinary Ability.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's on Spotify and it's free. So,
there you go.
You know, if you don't like it halfway through, you can just stop.
Just stop it.
Yeah.
Or throw your phone out the window.
Is there...
Get so angry that take it out on your phone.
Where can people follow you in real time?
All
the social
medias. That's basically it. Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, I do some podcasts. I do some videos on YouTube and stuff like that.
But what's your handle? How do they find you?
It's like, just my name. Eric Lamper.
Okay.
And spell that, because people, look, I would...
L-A-M-P-A-E-R-T.
Whoa!
But, like, the name will be in the descriptions, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Just do some basic research, you lazy bastard.
That's a very good point. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying, Eric?
Is there a tweet I've been enjoying?
Yeah.
Yes, actually, there is. So on my timeline, I retweeted it. This is like maybe 7 down. There is a person that said, this is how I want to be displayed at my funeral. And it's just a video of this person just sort of like hanging and being taken around a sort of theme park.
Uh-huh.
But the juxtaposition between that person not enjoying themselves at the theme park.
Right.
And then the, you know, the tagline, check out, you know, this is how I would
be. Oh my God. It's so weird. Wait, what is this, a ride? It looks like a woman on some kind of a railed zip line just flying around this weird amusement space, but her body is so limp it looks like a corpse.
And I just watched it. I watched it for like 20 times. It's just simple things like that bring me joy.
Because it does look like a corpse just on a ride. I'm going to retweet this now if you want to see it.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, God. Do we want to get into that? You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray, G-R-A-Y, not E-Y. I see some of y'all misspelling my name. Respect my name. Put some respect on my name. Some tweets I like. One is from Amber Nelson at Amber Smelson. It says, fun fact, you can have a bunch of tattoos and also the personality of a manila folder. Because I think we all know somebody who is overly tattooed, and you're like, you are dull, my person. And another one from Samuel Moen, at Samuel Moen. It says, let me just sing this. When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. You? Long cigarette drag. No. Damn.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets. Windsor Man, M-A-N-N, tweeted, Wesley Snipes was sentenced to 3 years in prison for misdemeanor tax evasion. Just a fact that you guys should know, because, yeah, it seems like a double standard when you have Paul Manafort doing his shit.
Yeah, really.
And then Ellery Smith tweeted, "Not everyone who has wept on public transportation is a comedian, but every comedian has wept on public transportation."
That's true.
So true. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we write out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
I mean, look, since we're kind of in the UK headspace, I want to let y'all know Idris Elba has bars, okay? Yes. The man from Hackney, okay, London, he can hold it the fuck down. And this is a track called Boasty with Wiley, Stefflon Don, Shana Paul, and Idris Elba, no. So put this in your ears, no?
Okay.
And take that on. It's called Boasty. Yeah, I just thought, yo, Idris Elba, his voice is so gruff, but man, he's talented. You know what I mean? He turned it out on this track, so check this one out.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you guys then. Bye!
I came to rap, you know, do my thing. Sabi put me on the gram and a remix thing. Full time Wiley with the Pacino flow. Godfather Part 2, call me De Niro. I came to win, battle me, that's a sin. Disrespect, man, get a slap on the chin. Man, a king in a top, oh, Larry, man, a big DJ. Hawks, Megan and Harry. Boss, yeah, man, a boss, yeah. I make a girl melt like a toasty. I'll be this way someday, and I write for myself, no ghosting.
Needs a boy got money in a bank.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.